2013's been going on for a month now. Oh, wait a second, I got something to tell you. There's an old cowboy sitting on his front porch. He's waiting on lunch. Had some beans on there. He's just killing some time, and he's sitting there, and he started watching his dog chase his tail. And that dog stood there and chased his tail and chased his tail and chased his tail. And finally, that old cowboy kept timing him. He was watching him and watching him and all. And that dog chased his tail for 10 minutes. And he got to thinking, you know what? How ridiculous that is. That a dog so dumb, it could be so smart and so dumb that he would stand there and chase his tail for 10 minutes. That how easily amused that dog was. And as he sat back in his chair and he pondered it for a minute and he thought, I just watched my dog chase his tail for 10 minutes. Does it sound familiar? 2013 is a month old. All the hype of the holidays are gone. Christmas is done. The New Year's, all that. We're done with our elections and all that stuff. And how many of y'all still working on your New Year's resolution? I haven't got started. You planning on getting it ready for next year, huh? How many of y'all have give up on a New Year's resolution already? It's funny because as we go in time, we make all these commitments and all these changes we're going to do. And it don't take long before life gets us right back in that same old groove, don't it? That we end up right back where we were and all. How many of y'all expect 2013 to be better than 2012? Have any idea how it's going to get that way? Y'all gonna have to make it better. You know, we can sit there and think that we want it to be better. I sure had a bad 2013. I hope that it's better. You know, but we can stand there and say that we want it to be better. But if we don't do anything to make it better, it's not going to be any better. We want things to be different. How are they going to be different? You ever heard the saying that doing the same thing the same way and expecting different results is the definition of stupidity? But yet we do it in our lives all the time. We get into a rut. We want things to change, but we're not the one that's willing to make the change. You know, Jesus said that I came that you may have life more abundant. I came that you may... How many of y'all believe that statement? I believe it with all my heart. That Jesus came that I should have life. And I want the life, and I want it more abundant. But he didn't say, just go sit on the porch and I'll bring it to you. See, that's the problem. A lot of times we think that life more abundant is just this great gift, this great blessing that comes from God, and he just gives it to us, and we just sit there and wait on it and say, God, okay, this is what I need. Give it to me. God's not going to do that. God doesn't work that way. Some of us stay trapped in that groove, and I want to call it a rut. We get back into the groove of life. Normal. How many of y'all say, well, I'm back in my routine? You ever say that? Everything, okay, it's settled down now. We're back in our routine. Change routine for rut. We're back in the rut. We're doing it the same way. Everything's good. It's good and comfortable here. I don't mind it being here. It's okay. But I tell you what, I think we carry that to the point that we get into our routine or our rut till it comes to a point where we're actually in a form of bondage. That we actually rob ourselves from getting the blessings and the things that God wants us to have. We're not willing to change. We make mistakes over and over again. We're to learn from those mistakes, but we're not to let those mistakes define what we're going to be this year. It's like we feel that we have to live with the consequences of them things forever. You know what? You know, I make a mistake on a horse, especially a young horse, and I gig him the wrong way, and he steps out from underneath of me, and I hit the ground. I don't have to live with the fact that that horse is always going to jump out from underneath of me. I can learn from that and say, you know what? I probably shouldn't gig him that hard next time. That way I won't fall off. You know, and if we'll learn from the things that we had last year, take those things last year, take all the sorrows and the troubles and stuff and learn from those things, don't dwell on them. Remember, we talked about that. We're not going to dwell on that stuff. We're not going to carry that baggage into next year. We're going to say, all right, I'm expecting new things. I don't want to be in the same boat. We say things like, I'm going to grow my relationship with God this year. I'm going to make it a point that I'm going to get closer to God this year. I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to get more in the Word of God this more. I'm going to be more involved in church. I'm going to spend more time with my family. And we go a couple Sundays and we read a couple scriptures and it's like we just back into the routine of the way we were doing things before. But we can't expect change if we're not going to change. We all want a fresh start. How many wants a fresh start? You know the greatest thing about God is a God of second, third, fourth, and fifth chances. You could say that God is a God of fresh starts. He is willing to give you a fresh start any time that you're willing to try to listen to Him and follow what He has to say. I mean, I can tell you the best way to get to Eastland from here, but it doesn't do any good if you don't follow it. We had this conversation, we went roping over in Tyler, and one of the guys, man, he was just bound and determined that he was going to use I-20. And I said, dude, that's crazy. I'd rather go get a root canal than drive down I-20. Oh, no, you wouldn't believe it. We come down here, when we come down 20, and we turn, I think it's 173, and we drove right straight into Athens. Drove right straight into Athens. It didn't take us no time. I said, what time did you come through there? He said, we'd be there about 4:30 this morning. He called me and we were about home and said that he's still stuck in the interstate and stop and go traffic. I can suggested to him that he don't go back that way. I suggested to him that he change his course and go this way. Couldn't make him go that way. Couldn't change his life. Couldn't get him to move on. I couldn't get him to do anything other than what he felt like what he wanted to do. Now, I asked him again. I said, we go back down to Athens here in April. Which way you going? He ain't taking 20. See, he learned from that and moved on. And it's going to make his life better. It's going to make his life easier. He's going to receive the blessings of not having to set in bumper traffic in Dallas. He decided to make a change. As a boy told his father, they were sitting there, old cowboy and his son sitting on the porch there after he got done watching the dog, I guess, the son come out. Boy said, Dad, there was three frogs on a branch, and one of them decided to jump into the pond. How many frogs were left on the branch? Dad said, two. He said, no, Dad. Dad, there was three frogs on the branch, and one decided to jump in the pond. How many was left on the branch? He said, I know that one jumped in, so the other two decided to follow him, and they jumped in. He goes, no, Dad. We're going to do this one more time. There was three frogs on a branch, and one decided to jump in. How many was left? He says, I don't know. Someone yelled out the answer. He said, three, Dad. He just decided. He didn't do it. And that happens with us. We decide that we're going to change a lot of things in our life. We decide that we're going to get closer to God. We make that decision that I'm going to read my Bible. I make all that decisions and that deciding to do that, but without action, it was a meaningless decision. If you brought your Bibles with you today, we're going to be in Isaiah, and we're going to talk about things that you can expect. Things that you can expect to have better. If you'll do these things, we can expect to have a better 2013. Everybody, I thought about this. I almost preached this sermon for New Year's. I said, you know what? I'm going to let us get into the year a little bit and see how we have made all these things that we're going to change. All these promises to ourselves we're going to change. Promises to our family. Promise, I'm going to show up on work on time. I'm not going to be late. We got a guy, one of my customers. I used to go down there every day and be there at 7:30, and I'd have to wait for him to get there to open the gate. I don't get there till 8 o'clock now. You know, and he said one of his things this year was he was going to decide that he was going to be at work on time at 7:30. Well, I was there Friday. Guess who wasn't there? So I don't know how many times, how many Fridays he made it at 7:30, but Friday number 5 was not it. He had already got back into his routine. But the Bible says in Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. God speaking to us is how He will, that we should expect change from God. God says, you can expect it from me. I'm going to give it to you, but you have to act on it. Isaiah 43:18. That do not remember the former things. Do not consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and a river in the desert. God says, I will change your life. I will. If you're in the wilderness, I'll make a road in the wilderness to help change your life. If you're in a desert, I'll bring a river to you to help change your life. But you need to be expecting change. What's it mean to expect change? What happens if you have an expectation of something happening? There's a possibility, an idea that it's going to happen, right? You don't expect change for no reason. You don't expect something for no reason. And God's making you a promise right here that you can expect change in your life if you'll rely on God. All things do not have to be the same. We got to stop making excuses for our lives and blaming others. You know, I mean, I told you before, I mean, we have one of our daughters that, I mean, her life is the way it is because of all of us. I know y'all don't even know her, but I guarantee you, if she met you, she could blame you for something. It's just in her personality because she doesn't want to take responsibility. So no, what she has become is accepting of living this life this way in this bondage because that's just the way it is. And so-and-so didn't do this and so-and-so didn't do that and this didn't happen and they told me this was going to happen and I was going to get this and nothing ever happens and there's always a reason for why there's no change in her life other than the exception is she does not make any change in her life. Keeps doing things the same way over and over. Romans 28:13 says, for a man who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. Now, it doesn't say that a man that never makes mistakes. We're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to mess up. We're all going to have failures. We're all going to have problems. The thing of it is we need to figure out and expect that we can change that behavior. Gosh, an alcoholic has to know that there's the expectation of change out there, that they can change their life, that they don't have to live that way. You don't have to be in bondage to sex or pornography or shopping or gambling or anything. You can change that, and God says, I will give you the road. Now, you notice it didn't say, I will drag you down that road. God didn't say, look, I'm going to put a road there, and if I have to, I'm going to put two wraps and a hooey on you, and I'm going to drag you right straight down that road. You're going to change whether you want to change or not. It's not what it says. We have to understand and expect change. We have to be willing to accept change. And we also have to know when we can't change. How many of y'all know the Serenity Prayer? Have you ever heard the Serenity Prayer? I'm going to read it for you real quick. It says, God grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change and the courage to change the things that I can and the wisdom to know the difference. You know, so what does that mean? I'm expecting change and I get to something and it can't change. It won't change. What do? Move on. Go around it. Don't get bogged down by it. Don't say, all right, okay, I tried and I run into this and you know, I'm trying to change my life, preacher. I'm trying to do this, but you know, I got this wife, or I got these youngins, or I got this boss. Hey, go around them. What do you mean, go around my wife? I'm saying is, if your wife won't sit down and read the Bible with you, you can read that Bible by yourself. I'm not saying leave your wife. Don't I can see it now. The guy's going to go, hey, honey, guess what? Preacher said, if you won't read the Bible with me, you're out of here. Pack your bags, you're going. That is not what I'm saying. I'm saying the change starts within us. You know, the problem is, we accept change in everybody else, and we sure expect change in everybody else, don't we? Now, y'all need to change. Y'all ain't living right. Y'all need to get it together. But when it comes to us, we don't expect no change in us. We're here because of our circumstances. I'm this way because that's, you know, and I'm going to tell you right now, if you're trapped and bogged down in something, and you say this statement right here, well, it must be God's will. You need to get your Bible out and read it because there's nowhere in that Bible does God say that I want you to be miserable and bogged down and unhappy. That is, it's not in there. It says nothing but the opposite. He says, I will give you an attitude to change it. You need to expect that he can change it. You need to not be afraid of it when it comes at you, because I'm either going to go around it or I'm going to change it. If I can't change it, I'm going around it. If I can't go around it, I'm going to change it. I'm going to expect the change. I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to change that thing in my life. I'm going to be active and get her done. Don't let other people dictate your happiness. So often do we allow others. The second way that we can do this is we need to live deliberately. You know what that means? To live deliberately. Live means the process of sustaining or maintaining a way of life. That's the way to live. Deliberately. Carefully thought out and done intentionally. Folks, if you're going to get closer to God, it's going to come intentionally. It's not going to come by accident. If you're going to get more involved in your church, it's going to come intentionally. It's not going to happen accidentally. If you're going to be a better dad, it's going to come intentionally. It's not going to, you know, I told you a story about my son. He wanted to be a calf roper. He prayed and slept on it every night. Never practiced, never became a calf roper. He never put the intentionally into it. He had every expectation of wanting to change. He wanted to be a calf roper. He wanted that to happen. But he wasn't willing to live deliberately to make it happen. If we want change in our life, we have to put it there. We have to live deliberately. We have to make it intentionally. We have to do it obediently. You want life abundantly? Be obedient to what God says. Because God says, I got a change for you. I prayed that 2013 would be better than 2012, and I can't remember a better year in my life than 2012. Happy Trails built this church. There's 120, 125 of y'all sitting here today. He has blessed me with just an awesome job. But you know what? January was a better month than last January. In my business, November, December, and January are the worst 3 months of the year. November and December, they're out of money. They got no budget, and I tell you, when you get in December, not only do they have no money, they got no ambition. It's Christmas time. Nobody wants to work. Nobody wants to do anything. Everybody's looking for the holidays. January, everybody's hungover from the holidays. Now they're trying to figure out where they're going to spend their money. They don't want to spend it yet because they got this big pot of money, and everybody's jockeying to get it. But I had a great January. We started a great Bible study. We had it Tuesday nights. Y'all come to the Bible study Tuesday nights. There are four individual ones. It's a Bible study on Mayberry, Andy Griffin. It's just great. We just had a great time, man. Y'all come. Just great January for me. But I'm expecting a better February than I had in January. And the only way that's going to happen is if I live deliberately to make it better. I can't just sit there and say, okay, God, I really thank you for January, and I really appreciate it if you made February a lot better. Not going to happen. My January was better because I drove a lot more and hustled a lot more and did a lot more. I hooked up with some different customers and got some better customers, but it took that intentional, deliberate act to go there and get them. You want to get something in your life, it's going to take an intentional, deliberate act by you. I say this all the time. You want to be a better roper? Practice. You want to be a better horseman? Ride your horse. Yeah. You want to be a better calf roper or bulldogger or cutter or team pinner? Practice. You want to be a better golfer? Practice. How many of y'all watch the golf? I know we got a couple over here that do. I like to watch golf. I like to play golf. I haven't played it in a couple years. Our clubs got stolen and stuff and all. But you ever watch those guys that are going? They played 4 days of golf. They might get into a playoff, and they leave the 18th green and go where? The practice range. Man, they want to be better in the next 20 minutes than they were 20 minutes ago. That's how important it is. That's a deliberate. They could have went in the clubhouse, got them a sandwich, got them a drink, said, Lord, I sure hope that you make this a better three holes than I had the last three holes. God, I'm going to give this all to you, Lord. It's up to you now, and it'll be your will if I fall flat on my face. And that's a lie of the devil. God says, my will is that you ace every hole. But you got to go to the practice green. You got to get out there and practice. You got to live deliberately. You got to change it deliberately. Who'd ever thought you'd hear about golf in a cowboy church, huh? One way to live deliberately is, and we do this every time that we do the Lord's Supper. Examine your life. Now, I'm not talking about examine your husband's life or examine your wife's life and give her the places that she could change her life or your cousin or your mother or your coworker. Examine your life. You want change in your life? Find out where there needs to be change. Examine your life. God says, I'm going to give you change. I'm going to open the road for you. I'm going to put a road in the wilderness. I'm going to bring a river in the desert for you. Now, you got to figure out how you're going to get to the river. I'm going to put it there. What obstacles are in your way of having a closer walk with the Lord? What obstacles are in your way of having a better relationship with your wife or your husband? Or a better relationship with your children or your brothers and sisters? We have to examine us. Like I said, we're really good at examining others. I guarantee you. Pick a person. We can tell you everything that's wrong with them, everything that they need to change. Problem is, three of us could examine that same person and come up with three different lists. You know why? Because when we examine them, we compare them to us. You can't examine yourself compared to the world. Because then you start telling me stuff like, preacher, I'm not that bad. I've never done. But see, God says when you examine yourself on a comparison to Jesus. I'm going to sit down and examine myself. How do me and Jesus line up? Not very good. He's way up there, and I'm way back here. We get critical of others. We can blame others. But when it comes to examining our own lives, we have trouble. We're very slow, I guess would be the word. Paul tells us that we should examine ourselves to see whether we are in the faith. You and God know how your relationship with Him is. I don't. You come here every Sunday. You can teach the kids. Be out here at every work day, be at every men's breakfast, pray every opportunity, show up at every Bible study. I don't know how your relationship is with God. I'd like you to examine that today. How is your relationship with God? Do you need to be a little more deliberate? Do we need to be a little more expectant of change? Maybe more acceptant of change? Maybe more realizing that we actually need change in our life. I'll guarantee you, each one of us sitting here has something in our life that we need to change. There's no one that came here today without any change in their life. Last thing I want to say to you is, God says, I will give you a fresh start. Take that fresh start. It's a free gift. He says, I will let you start anew. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, that old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. I don't know if you came here today and you have a relationship with Christ and you've kind of gotten this groove or this rut, and you've kind of not fallen away. I want you to leave here expecting change in your life. I want change for your life with your walk with God. I want you to live deliberately for God. I want you to take and examine your life and say, you know what, this has got to go, or I need to add some of this in. I'm going to change my life. Today, I'm going to make 2013. I'm going to expect 2013 to be better, because you know why? I'm going to expect some change in my life. I'm going to live deliberately in my life. I'm going to examine my life, and God's going to give me a fresh start. This year is going to be the best year ever. And folks, I don't know, maybe there's someone that came here today that did not know that this free gift was there, that there was a change there, that they felt that they were trapped in an addiction, they were trapped in their life, they were trapped and been separated and done so much. Jesus Christ went to the cross for you as well as anybody else. He said, I'm the God of second and third chances. There's nothing you can do that'll separate you from me but you. I sent my son to the cross. He shed his blood that you could have a fresh start. And all you got to do is ask. It's free. It's there. Just open your heart and say, well, the Bible says it's really easy. If you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and confess with your mouth that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Isn't that awesome? You read along a little further in that same chapter, it said, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't say all you good people, medium people. It says whosoever. I don't care what you've done in your life. You can be saved. Isn't that amazing? God says, I got a change for you. Please, my son came that you have life and more abundant. Make the change. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. We ask that you be with us and guide us, Lord, that you watch over us. Lord, you are calling out and laying out the design for change in our lives, and we'll just pay attention. We'll just listen. I pray for all those of us that have a relationship with you that right now, Lord, that we're just going to sit down and you say, you know what? I'm going to do some examining so that I live more deliberate, that I make the choices to change. I accept the things that I can't change, but I will not let them be a boat anchor to me. I will not let them rob me of what you have planned for me, which is a life more abundant. Your word tells us, Lord, that with the plans that you have for our life, we can't even conceive the blessings and the glory that you want to put upon us. But we always get in the way. Lord, I ask now to be less of us and more of you. And Lord, for that one that's here today, that come in here that didn't know that they could go into 2013 expecting a change, deserving a change, that all they had to do is examine their life and realize that there was a God that loved them so much that sent a son, his only son, to come to die for them. And all they have to do is say, I believe, I accept, and I confess. I admit that I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I confess that I need him in my life, Lord. Lord, I pray that those right there today would pray along with me and say, Dear Lord, dear Father God, I realize now that I need a fresh start. I realize now that I need a change. I believe in my heart that Jesus was your son, that you sent him to walk this earth to be my guide, and he died on that cross to pay my debt. That he carried my sins to the grave. That he arose on the third day. He sits at your right hand. And I realize now, Lord, that I need that change. I want to expect that change. I want to start living deliberately for you. And I ask you to come in and be the Lord and Master of my life. I surrender all that I'm not unto the greatness that you are. And I ask it all in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. If you said that prayer, if you would please, just fill out a green sheet back there. It's not so we can hound you, so that we can celebrate with you and start to disciple you. Y'all have a great Sunday afternoon. God bless. Adios.